Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Bloody Awesome Movie Podcast. I'm John Burke, and with me from across the pond is Matt Hudson from whatiwatchtonight.co.uk. Matt, how you doing, sir?
I'm just Ken, Jay, but that's how I'm doing. Very excited to talk about tonight's film and spoil the Barbie, my friend.
That's right. We are here to talk spoilers for Greta Gerwig's Barbie, which I really think she should have put Greta Gerwig in the title. but we have... everything we're about to say is spoilers, so if you have yet to see Barbie and you don't want it to be spoiled for you, pause this episode, rush to your local theater, give them your money, and then enjoy the just under 2-hour film before coming back to listen to our spoiler version of the review. With that, you've been warned. Here we go. Last line of the movie, Matt.
Wow.
Last line of the movie. Barbie walks into an office. We are assuming she's maybe going to start her career, start her job at Mattel, maybe, where she's going to set forth and change the world. And then she says, I'm here to see my gynecologist.
Didn't expect that at all, JB. I thought she was going for a job interview, which is, I think, how they posited it, that she's going to... Yeah. Going to get a job, and she's going to join, like, the become one of us and just do the 9-to-5 slog. Here's some my guy in the college is like, okay, wow. People loved that in the theater. People, in the non-spoiler, I mentioned how many times the theater erupted with just genuine, like, people having fun. It was like people had kept this bottled up malaise within them, and when they saw Barbie, it all came out, and people were just having a good time. And that was, and it ended with that big line. And the jokes throughout pretty much worked for me. Like, the ones I saw in the trailers are probably the ones which didn't work for me, like the whole, I'm going to beat you off. It's funny, but it just didn't grab me in the trailer. It worked better in the film, I'll say that right now. But there were other gags throughout. I mentioned one about when she's called a fascist and she's like, I don't make the trains run on time, which is a nod back now to Mussolini, who was, you know, people used to say he was a bad guy, but he always made the trains run on time. And when I heard her say that, I was like, that is, like, stupidly clever, that joke. And there were so many like that throughout, wasn't there? Just great.
Yeah.
Some obvious, some visual, but some very clever jokes.
Well, a lot of references to cinema. Obviously, the 2001 Space Odyssey opening, I thought was just a marketing thing. So seeing it in the film and it having context with Helen Mirren doing the voiceover was incredible. I was like, wow, I didn't know that was actually going to be in the movie. And then going to, like, our first encounter with all the Barbies and the Barbie Land is so joyous. I loved all of that. The dance sequence, the soundtrack for this film is incredible. Spotify does have a Barbie playlist that includes additional songs too. Really great, including the Ken song, which I did see Ryan Gosling's Ken song is in the top 100 on Billboard right now. So success, I'm guessing that might be our best original song this year. The Matchbox 20 joke, that his favorite song is Push You Around. And then all the Ken singing it on the beach, it killed me. I was so, like, just taken aback by it. And then also, though, it did make me wonder, like, I used to love that song. I never thought it was, like, about actually wanting to be, like, the dominating one as much as it was, like, wishing you were in a position where you weren't the one being dominated. And I realized as a kid, I really did some gymnastics to make songs acceptable. Like Third Eye Blind, Semi-Charmed Kind of Life, I went a big part of my life not realizing it was about doing crystal meth, even though in the song he literally says doing crystal meth. As a kid, I didn't really know what crystal meth was. I was just like, yeah, his friend Crystal from high school, right?
Like June.
But yeah. And a catchy tune, because it is. It's a very upbeat sounding song. It's not when you know what the words are, but But so, like, that whole sequence I thought was just so funny. The
play guitar at you.
Yeah. Oh yes, the wording, dude. The I'm gonna play guitar at you is such an important part of that bit. There's so many little subtle things in the background. Michael Cera, and America Ferrera does get an incredible monologue. I think I saw a quote from her, that Gerwig told her that Meryl Streep thought it was a brilliant monologue and wanted to read it. And so America Ferrera was like, oh, no pressure. Like, you know, like Meryl Streep loves it. So now I have to like out. And I thought she did a terrific job. It is, you mentioned, I believe you alluded to it in the spoiler free episode that it's a little on the nose in terms of its messaging, but I think it's really powerful nonetheless. And I think Ferrera does a tremendous job delivering the lines. Cause I think in less capable hands, it would have felt cheesy or generic, and because she's giving such a it feels so sincere and off the cuff and not a written monologue, and I think that's important for that monologue to work. It has to feel like she's speaking from general experience and an emotion, not just reading something someone else wrote, and it feels sincere, and that's why it works. I had such a good time watching this film. We get to see essentially Alan B. Scott Pilgrim and kick the crap out of a bunch of, I guess they're Kens. They're construction workers. And the implication is they have to be Kens. Oh my God. I didn't catch that pun. There's so many Ken puns in this. The hoodie that Gosling's wearing at the end that I'm Knuff is, or Ken Knuff is so freaking good. I love so much of this movie.
I think I want to buy that for the autumn winter months as well. The monologue's great. Don't get me wrong. The monologue is delivered with such fire and gusto that you can't help but be swept into it. I just felt that with the rest of the film's very self-aware, and the messages throughout are very well, they're peppered throughout, and they're really, really well implemented. I thought this was the one moment where it kind of, the film almost stopped, and it was like, right, we're going to explain it to you now. We're going to just unload on you, which I get is also part of the part of the film where America Ferrera's character is finally just getting it off her chest. But I liked it. I did like it. It just felt a bit like, you know, the film stopped in that moment. But and I know lots of people been getting very, very excited and upset about Ken and how men are being made to look very, very bad in this film, John. And I'm like, guys, did you even watch the film? Because how can you watch this film and not see the clear message in this film? You know, Ken goes to the real world. He sees men being men, or what he assumes them to be. And he sees the patriarchy in full flow and horses as well. He comes back to Barbie world and he becomes, you know, Ken land. It becomes all about the men and men doing very manly things and women being subservient. By the end of the film, I mean, you don't need me to explain this. By the end of the film, Ken and the Kens, but Ryan Gosling's Ken has realized he doesn't need Barbie to like him or to love him, or even didn't need to be with Barbie or anyone in order to find his own worth, his own identity. He is Ken and he's enough. That is what he says. And then all the Kens say it in that moment. At the end, they find out that, you know, they are who they are. They don't need anything else to define them. And that isn't anti-men at all. It's also saying, you know, the rule of which what was happening in Barbie land wasn't healthy either. I mean, there's so much going on here, which isn't just men are bad. It's not that at all. The patriarchy, you know, that is bad. And there are shots leveled at that. But as we mentioned, that's based on established facts and not conjecture. But the idea that you watch this film and think it is an attack on all men just because Barbie and Ken don't have like dull relations is mad. You know, they say at the end it may be Barbie and Ken, and then Ken realizes what it is. He's wearing the damn hoodie. I am Kenuff. I'm enough. That is it. He knows in that moment that is what the film is about. Very, very well done. And if it's gone over certain subsections' heads, then I don't know what to say, my man, because it was right there.
Yeah, and with that same kind of like that process, just in terms of like selling the film, I was not expecting Ken to be the antagonist of the movie. And I thought that was a really cool twist, something that I hope people going in don't know, that Ken is, it's an interesting antagonist because he's not one where you like hate him. He doesn't become like a mustache twirling villain. You kind of get where he's coming from. And obviously there is the parallel in our society where women who want to be treated equally are deemed the villains or the bad guys, because, you know, he's pushing up against the status quo. Obviously, the way in which he pushes against the status quo is terrible, and they just did like a hostile takeover, and with the qualities that we are generally negatively associated with masculinity, right? Like this overbearing macho-ness, the whole, Mojo Dojo Casa House. It's such a stupid phrase. I can't memorize it without like having to like piece it together before I say it out loud.
It shouldn't be.
It's so funny though. It's because of how he deadpans that dude.
Yes.
Because he's like, it's cooler when you say it twice. Like it's
like house. It's like, yeah, but it sounds cool. It's his delivery. Gosling's like deadpan delivery and the timing and the physical acting that he employs throughout is sensational.
There's just so much greatness in this film. And there, some of these, like Issa Rae has been up and coming. She's a tremendous talent and she's not in this enough, but also every moment she gets, she's able to do something really great with being the president and stuff. There's little like just subtle comments. Like when, can we be on the Supreme Court? It's like, yeah, I don't know if we can do that. Maybe a lesser circuit court, like just little things. And I think that's true of most of the cast. Like every Barbie gets like a good joke here or a good joke there or a laugh. I don't want to rub feet. Like it's, you know,
it's just, yeah. Alan being upset about. One.
Oh my God. I almost forgot to mention the Zack Snyder. I'm going to screw it up, but it's, I'm going to screw it up, but just the jab at the Snyder Bros though. Cause she's, does she say it? Does Barbie say it that she gets like I can't remember what the joke is. Do you remember what it is?
It was Alexandra Shipp's character, wasn't it? Who she's just been snapped out of the trance. Yeah.
Yes. And so like she's something about the I really wanted to watch the Snyder Cut of Justice League or something like that. Just so many little snot and the Godfather jokes. Gerwig.
Explain it like, to me. What play the whole thing explaining through it? Yeah.
Yeah, it just there's so much fun stuff in this film. I went in with high expectations, and I was really worried it wouldn't live up to them. I don't know if it exceeded my expectations, but it definitely met them. And I had so much fun with this movie. Gerwig is 3 for 3 for me. I really do like Her Little Women, and I love Lady Bird. Barbie might be the best though, and I wouldn't have thought that going in that I would be like, well, it's better than Lady Bird. But it might be. I definitely want to see this. I might see this the third time in the theater because I like a lot of times on a rewatch, I will have lulls or like I'll like, okay, well, now I can run to the restroom because I know what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
I was just as engaged the second time around with this movie as I was the first. And, Spider-Verse did that too. But that's like, of course, Spider-Verse did that for me. I'm a Spider-Man fanatic. I love comic book movies mostly. And I think the story of that film is just my whole bag. Barbie, I wouldn't have thought that it would be able to grab me in so many different ways, and it just does. It's so good.
Yeah, I mean, it exceeded my expectations of what a Barbie movie could be. I didn't expect to get a movie like this. Is it the groundbreaking masterpiece everybody says it is? I don't think so. I do think there's a bit of hyperbole going on there, and you know, it's the recency bias and the new thing is the best thing, but it is a damn good film. It's a fun film as well, JB. I don't think I'm going to see a film this year which is as fun and colorful or is smile inducing as this, because we've already seen some great looking films. You mentioned Spider-Verse Ascend, but there's not many films do I watch and I'm just happy, I'm just smiling, even when there are moments in it where you are sad and it makes you feel sad. But then you'll get a great moment with Barbie at the bus stop looking at the older lady next to her, and she says to the elderly lady, "You're beautiful." And the elderly lady looks and smiles and says, "I know." And then they just look at each other and smile, and it's a beautiful bit which apparently the studio wanted to take out, and Greta Gerwig said, "Over my dead body." And it's little moments where the film does allow itself to take those moments to almost jump out of the self-aware zaniness to and have these real moments. And I dug it. Helen Mirren's voiceover they're talking about Barbie says, "I'm not beautiful," Margot Robbie, and Helen Mirren's voice comes in saying, "This joke would have landed a bit better if we didn't have Margot Robbie literally playing Barbie," which is very, very funny. The film landed a lot for me. Very happy with it. Loved Margot Robbie. Loved Ryan Gosling. Loved the set design, the production design of all this. I think it looked great. A great time at the movies, JB. A fun, happy popcorn time at the movie. And a film with something to say. Doesn't happen very often in the summer, but it worked for me, John.
Me too, man. Me too. So that is our spoiler episode of Barbie. We also got a separate spoiler episode for Oppenheimer this week. So if you haven't listened to that yet, jump over there and check that out. In the meantime, you can follow us on social media on Instagram. We're at Bloody Awesome Movie Pod, and on Threads. I keep forgetting that's a thing.
Yeah.
We're on X. Well, that's a weird sentence now that I said it out loud. Did he think that through? That X is a street name for a popular drug that people are going to say they're on X now?
It's a non-trademarkable thing. And apparently Meta actually owned the social media trademark for X. So he's shot himself in every foot possible there.
He's a good one. Anyways, where can they find us on Twitter/X?
BAMP_podcast, BAMP_podcast, BAMP_podcast.
We're still on Facebook. Just search Bloody Awesome Movie Podcast. Give us a 5-star rating on whatever podcast catcher you use to listen. If you would be so kind, it helps other people find the show. With that, you can follow us in person. You can follow us in person. Please don't. That's scary. That's stalking. That's illegal. Don't do that. Disconnected brain. I meant to say you can follow us individually. I'm at Burke Reviews and at BurkeReviews.com. And Matt, where can they find you?
You can find me at whatiwatchtonight.co.uk and the search for What I Watch Tonight across all the socials, including Letterboxd.
And with that, we encourage you to keep watching movies
and stay bloody awesome. Blah, 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 blah.